How's everybody doing? To the veterans in the house, sit down. Shh, be quiet. We got stuff to do. Just kidding. You know what I'm talking about. Hey, I'm Steve. I'm one of the elders. Most of you know that. For those of you who are online, thank you for joining us this morning as we get ready to worship in this house. Charity, go ahead and show the slide, please. So this is the turkey giveaway that's occurring on November 15th. The reason we put this up here is because somebody asked if it was us. We are not giving turkeys away. That's William's job exclusively, if anybody gives turkeys away. And so this is happening at that address, Canaan Baptist Church. So if you know where that is, cool. If you don't, it's around the corner from 81 and 162 Lover's Lane area, for those of you who know. Okay, Charity, if you'll go back to the first slide, please. The announcements. Just want to remind everybody, those who didn't join us on Wednesday, Wednesday night Bible study is back on. It's back on. Come join us. We dug in pretty deep this week. Operation Christmas Child, last couple of days, 15 November, this Saturday. Need your help. Need lots and lots of help to get the stuff prepared. And then the 16th is the actual packing party. For those of you who are really good at tab A, slot B, come and help me fold boxes, please. It's a bunch of fun. Kathy and I did it for the last couple of years, and I don't know if we have a cardboard infection or not, but we're going to do it again. Okay, so Pastor's going to come out of Ephesians 6. This morning he's going to talk about don't be a jerk at work. Just kidding. It's titled much more pleasantly than that, but I came up with that this morning, and I was like, okay, let's have some fun this morning. And while I'm not making light of the call to worship this morning, I'm not. Every time we come in here, every time we see each other, we are genuinely excited. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me you didn't shake somebody's hand. I know. We'll get the shaking hand right, Olivia, I promise. You came in to see folks like yourself, did you not? So as much as we're supposed to prepare our hearts, we're still excited to see each other. And so now we're going to shift a little bit, and we're going to have a call to worship from Hebrews 12, 25 through 28. And those who are able, please join me on your feet, and I will read this to you. It reads like this. See to it that you do not refuse him who is speaking. For if those did not escape when they refused him, who warned them on earth? Much less will we escape who turn away from him and who warns from heaven. And his voice shook the earth then, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I will shake not only the earth, but also the heaven. This expression, yet once more, denotes the removing of those things which can be shaken as of a created thing, so that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Therefore, since we receive a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us show gratitude by which we may offer to God an acceptable service with reverence and awe. Join me in prayer, folks. Lord, thank you for this opportunity to come in your house this morning, knowing that the weather's fixing to change. We thank you for the safety that we are provided in Newton County, Covington specifically, to come and worship you in a house like this. We thank you for the death of your Son on the cross, for being our personal Lord and Savior for salvation. And we ask that the Holy Spirit settle on us this morning, because you know we've brought it in. We brought in those distractions which we can't cut it by ourselves. We ask your hand through the Holy Spirit to remove those distractions. Ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Continue to join us in service and praising God and giving him all glory and honor that is due him. Can we give him praise?
Thank you. Golden majesty. Thank you.
You can search the world all over, and I guarantee you there will be none found, for he is a wonderful God. Lord God, we just thank you for being in your presence and letting your spirit come upon us, showing who you are. Lord, as they take the offering, God, let it be for your glory and for your kingdom, as it be done upon your will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Is the first step a child can take on the greatest journey.
At Operation Christmas Child Outreach events, children get to hear a simple gospel presentation in their home language. Then they receive a colorful booklet, the greatest gift, which contains 11 Bible stories and invites them to follow Jesus. Along with the greatest gift, children receive a shoebox that gives them a glimpse of God's love for them, opening their hearts to begin a journey of faith.
After receiving their shoebox, children are invited back to the Greatest Journey, a 12-lesson discipleship course. This is where the relationships are built between teachers and children, and a relationship with God is deepened through prayer, memorizing scripture, and learning to boldly share Jesus with friends and family.
Through outreach events and the Greatest Journey, children are sent out to take their faith back to their families and communities. As a result, we're seeing Jesus transforming the nations. In Fiji, a former witch doctor came to Christ and offered his land for a new church. Today, 80 people worship there regularly, and 5 more churches have started in surrounding villages. One box, one child, a multiplying movement of the gospel.
A shoebox gift is just the beginning. Join us in leading children to Jesus,
growing them in faith, and watching the gospel multiply. It's all about
Jesus.
All right, good morning, good morning. Once again, for the great God, come on, give him a hand clap of praise. I was sitting there and I was listening to the praise team lead us this morning, and I was thinking about, the thought came to my mind, what scripture says that the angel Gabriel said to Joseph about his wife Mary, that she's going to give you a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. So it is a beautiful name and a powerful name, because the angel says he will save his people from their sin. Come on, bless the Lord. Come on. You got to start meditating on them words when they're singing and really think about what we're singing, because if you think about that, it will consume you and you will find yourself in worship and praise and giving thanks unto God. Amen. So good to see all of you who have come. We're grateful to God for another opportunity to be here. If this is your first time with us, a very special welcome to you. We welcome our family and friends who are joining us via live Facebook this morning. We're equally grateful to have you with us. However, we'd love to see you here fellowshipping among the believers in person. Not because we want you to, and not because we want the seats for you, but because we believe that that is the will of God for you as a child of God. Those who are in a position of authority. So this encouragement today is for the professed believer to be pleasing to God on our job, not focused on who it is over you, but who it is over it all. Look at verse 9. And masters, do the same things to them. And give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And masters, do the same thing to them. How you, if you are an employer, treat those below you also matters to God. And what does he mean by do the same things to them? What we just read in the previous three verses up there. Those in authority, if you are in this context a master, if you are in modern day context an employer, those with authority, we have to exercise that authority with integrity. Those who are in a position of authority. So this encouragement today is for the professed believer to be pleasing to God on our job, not focused on who it is over you, but who it is over it all. Look at verse 9. And masters, do the same things to them. And give up threatening, knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no partiality with him. And masters, do the same thing to them. How you, if you are an employer, treat those below you also matters to God. And what does he mean by do the same things to them? What we just read in the previous three verses up there. Those in authority, if you are in this context a master, if you are in modern day context an employer, those with authority, we have to exercise that authority with integrity. We have to give all of our hearts and effort in our work and how we treat folks, especially those who work for us. We got to exercise that authority in such a way that is pleasing to the Lord. Because we know the Lord is watching how we use our positions. Now, I want y'all to know, I'm going to switch back to the employees for a second here. It doesn't say slaves, here's what you tell your masters. Hey, you know what the book said? No, it doesn't say slaves, this is what you tell your masters. He tells the masters what they are to do, and he tells the slaves what they are to do. Same thing with the children, parents, same thing with the husband and wife. Each one is responsible and accountable before God. I'll start being a better employee when he's a better employer. You're out of the will of God. So he says to them, you do the same thing. I'm watching you too. You may have a position of authority. I'm watching you. And be careful. Give up threatening them. Because when people are in positions of authority, it's no surprise. We like to stick out our chest. I'm boss man. And it's so, and the world don't help us because we got to get it put on our chest, right? Manager, supervisor, owner. You know, we want you to know, right? Think about that. That's it. You can't, as soon as you get it, you know, your Facebook profile page, you make sure you got that as the first thing up there. So people will know you boss. You the boss. You like to carry your weight around. But having a position of authority never gives a person a right to threaten people. You don't have a license to threaten people or to bully people to do their jobs. You still got to talk to them. That don't mean that you got to hold them accountable, but there's still a right way to talk to people. You don't cuss them out. Now, you need to think about how transforming this would have been for the Roman Empire now. Because masters did that all the time. They would threaten them to get the desired results that they want. Even when you read back, even under the Egyptian slavery and how they were, it speaks about how they were whipped and everything so that they can accomplish what they needed them to accomplish. They could threaten them with punishments and beatings. But God's people will not do this. I didn't say you wouldn't save. I said, but God's people will not do this. even though they had a right and even had the power to do it as a master over their slave, because of what we get ready to read in a few moments, they recognize that their master is watching them. A great example of this, Paul's letter to Philemon. You want to go and read that again, but listen to this. Philemon in chapter 1, listen at verses 10 through 16, and I'll explain. I appeal to you. This is Paul writing to Philemon, who was a Christian slave master. And one of his slaves, Onesimus, has escaped. And Paul, he finds himself, ain't that just like God, providential, right? He finds himself in the area where the Apostle Paul is, and he gets saved, the slave. And Paul now recognizes, wait a minute, there's a proper order to do things. I'm going to have to send you back to your slave master. Paul, the man, free. He ran away. He got out of there. He recognizes there's a way God wants to do this. Now listen to what Paul says. This is him writing back to Philemon about Onesimus. I appeal to you for my child Onesimus, because he now has led him to Christ, whom I have begotten in my imprisonment. So they found themselves in prison. Who formerly was useless to you, but now is useful both to you and to me. I have sent him back to you in person, that is, sending my very heart, whom I wish to keep with me, so that on your behalf he might minister to me in my imprisonment for the gospel. But without your consent, I did not want to do anything so that your goodness would not be in effect, but by compulsion of your own free will. For perhaps he was for this reason separated from you for a while, that you would have him back forever, no longer as a slave, but more than a slave, a beloved brother, especially to me, but how much more to you, both in the flesh and in the Lord. Having confidence in your obedience, I write to you, since I know that you will do even more than what I say. Paul was so confident that Philemon was who he professed to be in Christ, even though you clearly, see, we look at it from the worldly perspective, and it could have been easy with Philemon, like, you know, you run away, they could kill you, punish you, cut, you know, the whole, cut your foot off, cut something severe, could have easily done that. Paul says, let's think about this now. Maybe it was for a greater reason, not condoning what he did. But maybe he was separated from you for a time because God was going to lead him over here. Little did this man know, he's just trying to get away from his circumstance, situation, find himself somewhere. He got caught in prison. He where Paul at. Paul ministered to him. Now the guy is saved and out. And Paul says, you got to go back. Can you imagine being Onesimus at that point? I thought whom Christ set free is free indeed. Spiritually speaking, Onesimus, you're absolutely right. But Paul says, don't worry, he's a believer. And look at what he says. I'm sending him back to you now. He's useful to me, but he's going to be even more useful to you now, because guess what? No doubt Paul told him the same thing that he's telling us today. Hey, when you get back, you're going to have to be the best slave you can be. Not trying to appease his anger, but because you need to do it as to the Lord now. This is what's missing in the churches today. We don't teach the doctrine part of why we need to be doing it. It's as to the Lord now. And Paul says, I'm confident. I am confident that you're going to treat Onesimus now in a way that honors God. I'm confident of that. And here's why. That verse 9, knowing that both their master and yours in heaven, there is no partiality with him. So the reason we are to, whether you are master, slave, in this context, employee, employer, in modern day society, the ultimate master is the one who died and gave his life for you, the creator. He didn't, and now that's one way of looking at it, just because, not only because he died for you and gave his life for you, but because he is God. God is the ultimate master, and we are his slaves. All of those of us who profess to be Christians, we serve the same God. And I need, in closing, I want to say this. if you think about it, Christianity solves societal problems by bringing people under the same position under God. If everybody had that mindset, it would govern the way we think. It would govern the way we act. It would govern the way how we treat one another. Servants and masters, or employees and employers, are both what? Slaves of Christ, and both should be serving to please and glorify God. Regardless of whether you're the boss man or if you are an employee, you should at least be one of the best employees for that company / that supervisor. If you are an employer, it should be, whether you are not around, your employees ought to be bragging about you. You are one of the greatest companies to ever work for. Especially you as an individual, because there is no partiality with God. He doesn't care who you are. He doesn't care what you think. All people stand equal before God. Slave or free, employer or employee, male or female, rich or poor, all stand equal before him. Now, in closing, John 13 is a great example of this. Jesus, who is master, who is Lord, who is the teacher, they acknowledged him as that. When you go to John 13, we find him washing the disciples' feet. The master serve. So he humbles himself. Peter even recognized, you can't wash my feet. He said, if I don't do it, you won't be clean at all. So God cares what we're doing, not only in our houses, as we've been talking about husbands, wives, and children and all things. He cares about what we're doing Monday through Friday. He cares about what's going on at work. Okay, don't get smart. Maybe you work on the weekends only. You too. He cares about what's going on at work, and he's watching what each one of us is doing and what we are experiencing. So don't think that anybody is getting away with anything, even your boss man, that may be everything that you think of that person. But I will say this. This is when you truly should quote what we often quote about his grace being sufficient. God gives us grace for us to function in whatever circumstance we might find ourselves in. Doesn't mean we can't pray for him. God, please give me another job. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. But while you remain there, there is an expectation that God has of you as a professed believer. And just like I encouraged you guys last week and the week before that, some things we can't go back and change. But you can start tomorrow being the very best employee you can be as you do your service unto the Lord. Or if you're an employer, the very best boss you can be as to the Lord. Let me pray for us. Father, we thank you again. I can't help but continuously thank you for the simplicity of it all, God. It was given, talking about your word, God, so that we as your people could understand it. And I pray right now, God, for those who are in difficult situations, whether we moved on, but whether you're in a difficult marriage, even for my children, God, maybe their parents are difficult. And I pray now for whether they're on the employee side and it's a difficult boss man, or whether they are Christian boss who got difficult employees, God. I pray for them all. Because in all these things, God, we acknowledge you are sovereign. And it's above all, God, and important that we honor you with our obedience to you. So, Lord, enable us. Encourage us, continuously convict us to live out what we claim to believe, and show this world that you are sovereign in our lives in every single detail. So we thank you, God, that we're not here by chance, that you're speaking to us. And I thank you, God. I don't know how many on the sound of my voice recognize the blessing in that, God, because there comes a time where you turn us over to ourselves, and you let us do us, the reprobate mind, God, to where nothing is wrong in our eyes anymore. So I thank you, God, for this time in your word. And I pray that it will accomplish all that you have will for to accomplish. I know that it won't return to your void, God. To you be the glory, I pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, thank you guys so much. I only shared my personal experiences to show you how convicting it was for me as I was going through this. All that stuff started rushing back to my mind of how not so great I was as an employee and not honoring God. And only because of grace, you gonna let me stand there as your preacher? What? I can't believe it. It's hard for me to fathom such great love and forgiveness. So I'm encouraging you, just acknowledge it to him. There's a real enemy. I can't tell you the moment whether you punch a clock in on a computer that boss man, boss lady ain't gonna be in your face right away, challenging you from what you've learned. Just repeat in your head and remind yourself, all that I do it as unto him. Colossians 3, and I'm done, it says, for whatever you do in word or deed, you do it unto the Lord. Amen. Come on, bless the Lord in this place. Give him a hand clap up for you. I want to give you an opportunity, and we're done. You want a time of invitation. What I'm saying is impossible for the unbeliever. You'll do some good things, but it's impossible because it won't be your motivation. But if you're in here and you are a professed believer, it has to be your motivation because you are a slave of God now. A slave not for unrighteous things, but for righteous things. So we'll give you an opportunity. For those who are able, please stand with me. You can come to my left, your right. If you want to come and have a word with the Lord, nobody bothers you. Or maybe you want someone to pray with you and for you, you can come to my right, your left, and near. But we want to give you just a few moments. And if you heard anything today and it's a problem for you, your biggest problem is the gospel. You have yet to truly come to understand what it is that Jesus Christ came into this world and did for you. Won't you come? There's no partiality with God. You guys may be seated. I'm only speaking for myself. I hope it's true that I'm speaking for many of you. While that conviction was there, I'm excited to implement what I learned. It's almost like I can't wait to show Daddy. So we thank God again for your presence. Thank you guys so much for joining us online. Just again, I pray you go back and look at it for yourselves. At this time, though, we do want, before we close out in prayer, I want to acknowledge veterans. This upcoming Tuesday is Veterans Day. And if you're a veteran in here, if you're able, please stand if you're a veteran in here. Come on, bless the Lord for our veterans. Got Tucker standing in the back. Thank you, God. Like we did with the fire department, we just want to make sure that we recognize them. And I know people got their different opinions and their views and whatnot, but even in what we're learning today should cause you to have hearts of gratitude. There's been great sacrifice made on behalf of, no matter what you might think you can complain about in this country, still, I wouldn't want to live anywhere else. And I'm grateful to the veterans and all those men and women of the armed forces who seek to keep their oaths, who take everything seriously to heart, all that they've committed themselves to. And even to them, I say to all of you, your service, well, you're out now, many of you are out now, but the service has to be, it's the same command. The service has to be as unto God. But we thank God for you guys, and that we're blessed to even have you guys as members here at Gateway. So we thank you for that. Let me pray for us one last time, and I'll let you guys enjoy the rest of your Sunday. Father, we come again, and we as we prepare to leave this place, God, I pray, God, again, that your word has not fallen on deaf ears, God, that we'll be found faithful with what we've heard, God, that we'll recognize, God, that this is food for our souls, God. These are the things that are right in your sight, that is pleasing in your sight. We got everything constantly coming at us from all sides, trying to define who we should be or what we should be as people, God, and you have simplified it for us. You have given us your word, God, and so I just pray now as the people prepare to leave this place for the days to come, God, that they will recognize that they belong to you, and as slaves of Christ, God, they are to do what's pleasing in your sight. So as they go, God, your favor and your blessings upon them, I ask in Christ's name. Amen. God bless y'all.